time and the place for the scheduled public hearings before the County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission's meetings to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the direction of the chairman. If you have a telephone, BlackBerry, or similar device, we ask that you turn it off now or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there's a spokesperson or an attorney present, representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Also, individuals supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so we thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free, to, as many have already done, to move up. This isn't church, and I usually say lightning's not going to strike, but I'm not too sure this evening. But if they luck at all, it won't strike in here. And so feel free to move up if you're having difficulty hearing. Okay. Our first public hearing is subdivision number 2009-2, Keith Properties Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, dividing 5.99 acres into 8 lots within the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone, being located at the southerly end of Marina Road, approximately 850 feet south of Route 336. For informational purposes, this application was received and filed on March 4th of 2009. The Technical Advisory Committee review comments were received by June 5th of 2009. The Technical Advisory Committee comments were forwarded to the Commission and are part of the record for this application. Revised plans were submitted on June 16th of 2010, responding to the Technical Advisory Committee comments. The commission was provided with an exhibit booklet, which has been on file since June 14th also, and the commissioners all have a copy, and there has been a copy in the record since June 14th. That exhibit booklet contains a color rendering of the subdivision, an aerial photograph of the site and area, the qualifications of Mark Davison, the presenter, a description of Design Consultants Group, LLC, and DCG Environmental Services, Incorporated, a copy of the application form, a reduced copy of the preliminary plan, copies of deeds with related plots, responses to 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance, a wetlands delineation report prepared by Envirotech Environmental Consulting Incorporated, a series of maps and aerials, an environmental assessment report, a proposed covenants and restrictions, a series of maps and correspondence on wastewater, a willing and able to serve letter from Tidewater Utilities Incorporated, suggested conditions of approval for consideration and suggested findings of fact for consideration, and as I said earlier, the exhibit booklet has been a part of the record since June 14th. We also received letters in opposition from Edward and Helena McElvoy, Frank and Josephine Vara, Thomas and Patricia Fry, Patricia Weekly, and Natasha and George Merrick. all residents living along Marina Road. The letters express concerns relating to the conditions and maintenance of Marina Road, traffic, the effect on their quiet style of living, the system connection charges, overbuilding in an environmentally sensitive area, the density, questioning why the application is in process when the applicant has not acquired or contracted the necessary access to the property, the negative impact on the quality of life of the residents in the area, concerns about updating the marina and dredging, the environmental impact on the redevelopment of the marina, that the applicant has been advised that the proposed land swap, which would enable the completion of the access right-of-way, will not be agreed upon, the possible negative impact on property values, and requesting that the application be denied. Those comments are summarized based on five letters that we received. And that's all I have at this time.
All right, sir, we thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the exhibits that are up here can be very difficult to see from where you are, so please feel free to get up, take a look. We ask that you do it quietly and that you not have a discussion while you're up there, but if you want to come up and take a look, please feel free to do so. We have it all in front of us here. So, and with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Davidson.
Could I ask Mr. Lank?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Mr. Lank, you mentioned about one of the letters mentions that there is no land swap, which is a part of this subdivision.
That's correct.
Does that letter come from a principal that would know what he or she was talking about, or is it?
It came from the resident who owned the property where that access would had to be swapped to get access to the subdivision.
So it was a principal. What would be a principal landowner? Thank you.
All right, sir.
All right. Good evening. I'm Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. With me tonight is the owner of the properties, Keith Properties Incorporated, Mr. Richard Keith. He's off to my left. We're here tonight to propose an 8-lot subdivision in an AR1 zone land that is in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. The properties are, the property size is approximately 5.99 acres. What I would like to do is I'd like to kind of go through the site, the history of the site, the proposal of the 8 lots. There are a couple of things that in my booklet I had shared that we're going to, I requested a waiver from a certain portion of the ordinance or the code, and then I would like to talk about the access, but I'm going to go through the site first, and then I'll get into the that portion of it. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I have a couple of handouts here that I'm going to go through. If I could hand those in at this
hand those to our attorney to make sure we're okay to receive them.
Okay.
What I've handed in is just an updated landscaping.
Cover and the 11 by 17 was for an earlier layout prior to making a few changes to the site. This color rendering does match the actual site plan that was, or the subdivision plat, preliminary subdivision plat that was handed in as part of the record. The color rendering just updates that, the color rendering that's shown in your booklet. Again, we are asking for 8 lots. The gross density of this is 1.34 acres of land, or units per acre. The property is located in a level 3 strategies for state's policies and spending. There are two wetlands. A wetland delineation has been performed. And as I'm going through this, I'm gonna also cover some of the, so that I don't duplicate things that I'm gonna say tonight. I'm gonna kind of go through the section of 99-9C, which is also part of the record and it's in your booklet. But a wetlands delineation was done by EnviroTech, and there are two wetlands out here. Of course, we have Pepper, bordered along the east side by Pepper's Creek, which has some state wetlands along there, which at that point we have to provide the 50-foot buffer from the state wetlands. There are also a small section of 404 wetlands that run around the entire site here. Just a little bit of history of the site. I did provide some maps in the section of the booklet here that kind of show the history of this site as it through the years. Based on information that I could put together and some research and everything, a farmhouse back in the earliest photo that I have here is in the 1930s, shows the farmhouse was there for the entire area owned by the Timmons. Later on, sometime in the 1950s, later part of the 1950s, a marina was built. This location right here. Also, through the years in the 50s and 60s, from the farmhouse, there was if you look at the aerial photos, there was an extension of the dock that came out through into Peppery Creek. This portion of the area historically within the site, and it's better viewed on the aerials here, is referred to as Timmons Cove. I did provide an environmental assessment of the site within the booklet. I won't go through all the particulars of it. I'm just going to touch base as I go through my presentation. At this time, to date, the dwelling has been abandoned and is in much need of repair, which sits approximately in the middle of this piece of property here. And the marina pretty much is, when the Keiths bought it back in 2003, there are some remnants of pilings out in the water. Some of the docks that were part of the marina are up on the shore, and there was a fueling station as well as a boat. The Keiths had the fueling station removed as part of some of the preliminary work that they did when they first bought the property. Some of the other things about this piece of property, there are two individual single-family lots that are located to the west side of this piece of property. There's an access easement that has been recorded, and I provided that. I provided that under the deed section of our booklet. There's an access easement that cuts down through some properties here that has access to these pieces of property. Our site layout shows a 20-foot-wide dedicated easement off the end of our cul-de-sac here for Marina Road. Our proposal is to extend just Marina Road into the site to service these eight lots. On the subdivision plat, we are showing a 20-foot dedicated access easement to these two individual single-family lots that are just to the west of our property. With the presence of state wetlands, we'll be seeking a water quantity waiver for stormwater management on the site. The stormwater management for this property will be through the use of green technology, BMP. We will provide, we'll use green technology. Everything will be natural. There's not going to be any stormwater ponds. We're going to use everything. We're going to use landscaping and the existing site to help treat the water prior to its prior to discharging into Pepper's Creek. The water supply there in the section in the booklet, there is a willing and able to serve for water from Tidewater Utilities for this property. Wastewater treatment, the project is within the Dagsboro-Frankfort planning area for the sewer service. And connection to the sanitary sewer system is mandatory by the Sussex County Engineering Department. The parcel does adjoin the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. If approved, we would have to proceed through the annexation process through the County Engineering Department to annex this piece of property into that sewer district.
In the wastewater section of the booklet, there are some correspondence that I had with Mr. Rob Davis with the engineering department, and talks about that there is sewer service available for the eight lots, that we are in a sanitary sewer district, and that depending on, we are immediately adjacent to the landings at Pedford Creek, we're on the east side of it. Depending on their process, progress of building this site, we can either access wastewater through them through a certain phase that they come into, or they possibly would like to see us, and it states in their letter that they would like to see the sanitary sewer system come down Marina Road and access our property through through that system there. As I stated before, we, in talking with DelDOT, basically this is becoming an extension of Marina Road. Again, we talked with the addressing department of Sussex County, and they would like to see this, the name of this, be extended as Marina. I show Marina Road extended, but they say the word extended does not need to be on there because the addressing has already been provided, so that just the word, just the road name Marina Road. DelDOT, the same way DelDOT, it has, this is a DelDOT maintained right away. It's County Road 336B. And in speaking with DelDOT, they stated that there is a 50-foot access. They have a 50-foot right away that comes through Marina Road. And again, I'm going to talk a little bit about our access to that road in just a few minutes. As part of the environmental review, we did Envirotech Environmental Consulting did do a species and habitat review and found that there was no endangered species within the site. Again, wetlands was performed by Envirotech. Their report is in the booklet. This site is almost split in two with the amount of forest. This portion of the site, the northernmost portion of the site, is an existing wooded area. The rest of it is open space. We're proposing only two lots within the wooded section of this site. And again, this road here pretty much follows the existing driveway that goes through the site right now. And again, that driveway does access the two adjacent pieces of property on the east side of the property. As far as when we do go to do the stormwater management for this site, we will have to meet the TNDLs. And this is in the Inland Bays High Reduction Area. In my report, I did provide a nutrient protocol based off of the TMDLs through the through utilizing the wastewater from Sussex County, not having any on-site septic, through the types of stormwater that we're going to propose for this site, Benarex Green Technology Design Manual and providing the BMPs that the total nitrogen, total phosphorus does reduce through the development of the of this site. And again, all that resulting data is in the booklet. There is approximately 48% open space. Open space is in the form of some of the wetlands along this road here. None of the lots here back up against the wetlands, or do they back up against Peppers Creek? They are all facing towards the east, and they are all running along the back of the landings at Pepper Creek. So a lot of the open space for the residents here will be to enjoy would be all along the creek here. Again, we are proposing Envirotech to seek getting a marina, a boat dock application, and for the owners and the residents of Marina Cove Estates. One of the questions within the application that they are waiting for is the approval of the of a subdivision plan prior to Denerec issuing an approval for a marina application. But again, the marina itself will only be for the owners and the residents of Marina Cove Estates. In the back of the book, I have provided for some conditions of approval and findings of facts. And again, in 99-9C, I'll try not to duplicate what I just went over, but we have integrated the subdivision, the lots, and everything into the existing terrain. Again, none of these lots back up against Pepper's Creek. What we've tried to do is we tried to follow the existing road that is going through this site right now that serves these two existing residents off the property here. So what we're trying to do, and we've also provided that 50-foot buffer away from the state wetlands. So we try to run that road right along there, kept it up on the high ground up on there, trying to stay out of the topo. The topography for this site, we do provide a topography survey on the subdivision plan. You can see that we're staying up here right along the high ground of the property here, and it does fall off significantly once you start to encroach towards that 50-foot buffer. Again, the minimum use of wetlands, there will be no use of the wetlands with the exception that when they go and if this is favorably approved, once they go and get the marina application, all be subject to Denrex requirements. The floodplain, based on the FEMA flood maps, most of the property is in a zone X. Everything above, and all the lots will be in a zone X. There will not be any lots in any type of flood zone. The zone X is outside the 500-year floodplain. The lower areas of the site are within a zone AE. Again, there was no historical or natural resources found on this site, with the exception that during the discovery there was an old marina that was here, and I'm not quite sure the marina, being that this was Marina Road, it could have serviced the area at one time, but that was all that was discovered during the historical research. Open space, again, there's 48% open space for this site. Tree and vegetation removal and soil removal. Again, I'm following the existing roadbed with this road, trying to minimize the amount of soil that's going to be moved here. Placing two lots within the existing woods, trying to keep all the existing trees intact here as much as possible. That way, this site here can utilize an attractive feature in possibly selling these two lots here, is you can sell them as wooded lots. The screening of objectional features from neighboring properties. I'm going to talk a little bit about the landscaping here in just a minute. I talked about the water and the sewer, the prevention of pollution, talked about the nutrient protocol already, and that study report is in the booklet. Again, we'll follow all state and Sussex Conservation District guidelines for stormwater, for erosion and sediment control. We don't feel that this project will have an effect on the area property values. The covenants and restrictions, which will be updated, and through that, as part of this application, enforces the goals of this subdivision to try to maintain as much of a natural condition as possible. Again,
we decided not to push any, it would have been easy to be able to bring this road up and around and try to put all the lots of everybody's backyard would be overlooking Pepper's Creek. But what we decided was to try to stay away from this portion of the site. And it does have some topography there, but there, it could have been easy to be able to put a lot up against those wetlands there, or run the back of those lots up against the wetlands, or at least the 50-foot buffer there, and provided for a much better view for these lots.
The effects on schools and public buildings, the project will have a positive benefit on schools by generating economic benefits in the form of increased revenues through the property taxes. If necessary, during our if approved, we'll coordinate with the local school district. If in talking with their district manager, their transportation manager with the school district, if they deem necessary that a school bus stop is needed right here, we'll work with the school districts any way we can to possibly provide for a bus shelter. I talked about the about the extension of Marina Road and the effects on the transportation, and again the effect on it waterways. We ran the protocol. We are going to use the Green Technology Manual (BMPs), stormwater regulations. The new stormwater regulations are coming out. They are in their final stages of being written, so through all those aspects of design, there should be no negative impact to Pepper's Creek or the wetlands in the area. What I'd like to talk about next is the letter I had put in the front cover of your booklet, requesting a requesting the waiver of Ordinance 1984, Section 99-5, forested and/or landscape buffer strip, which is also it's spelled out in the subdivision section 99-6J. Just to be brief, the section talks about any lots, four lots or more in a subdivision, providing a 20-foot buffer around the adjacent properties of a subdivision, and you have it spelled out in those regulations. Among the definitions is a site-specific types of landscaping that's going to be required in those buffers. What we're asking for, and we're not opposed to providing the landscape buffer along the entire perimeter of the property. What we submitted for the record, and I submitted just earlier with the updated color rendering, was a landscaping plan. And in the landscaping plan, there's a table here called buffer planning requirements. And part of those requirements in the code talks about 15 trees to be planted per 100 linear feet of buffer. And it talks about the types of trees that there has to be a mix of 70% deciduous and 30% evergreen. What we're providing here is I've got a plant schedule and I've provided a landscaping plan outlining the number of trees that are needed for this site. Based on the calculations that we've come up with, 96 new trees will need to be planted to meet that requirement. And that's what this landscape plan shows. It shows the breakdown of the 96 types of trees that need to be planted. And what I'd like to go over is we are providing offsets from the majority of the boundary line. Again, this is an existing, if you go back to the color rendering, this portion of the subdivision here is already existing wood. We back up to the landings at Pepper Creek, and along the landings at Pepper Creek, and I do show this on the recorded subdivision, but they provide the 20-foot buffer as well as a 10-foot buffer. So, and I'm not saying that that alleviates us from having to provide that buffer. What I'm asking is that in order for us to provide the buffer, I would have to move that road down through the down into down slope within the topography here. Also, it would infringe upon the 50-foot buffer. And as I state in my letter here, as I read the 50-foot buffer zone that's written in the code, it talks about stormwater, wastewater, streets, or allowed as long as they're approved through the county engineering department. What we want to do is we want to preserve that 50 feet, and I had to push that road up into the upper portion of this, which didn't allow for certain sections of this site not having that 20-foot buffer. We do provide some buffer behind lots 1 and 2, as shown on this landscaping plan, it's better delineated, along the adjacent property lines here, we are showing greater than a 20-foot buffer next to on the north side of lot 1. Lots 3, 4, and 5 all meet the 20-foot requirement for the buffer. A portion of lot 6 is up against some open space, but the 6 and 7, what we're doing is we're providing for the minimum landscaping requirement under that buffer zone along those two property lines. And in lot 8, there is, again, we're showing this 20-foot access easement that runs across this property here. So, again, we're not opposed to showing, providing the landscaping buffer, but what we're asking for is the waiver of the 20 feet dedication outside of the code further talks about it has to be, the lots have to be outside that 20 feet, but what we're asking for is the waiver of that 20 feet. We will still provide the landscaping. Under the section of 99-33, under unusual conditions, it does talk about that a waiver can be granted if it can be shown that strict compliance with the requirements of this chapter would result in an extraordinary hardship or the subdivision because of unusual topography or other conditions. Again, trying to keep this road up out of this banked area in through here. We've had to push some of these lots up against the adjacent property line, and so therefore we're not able to get that 20-foot buffer that is required. Lastly, I would like to talk about, it was mentioned in an opposition letter about some entrance access, and as part of my conditions of approval, what I've asked for in the conditions, or what I've placed in the conditions of approval, is the need for us being able to obtain a 2.06-foot variance for the 50-foot requirement to be able to access this property. And if I may, Mr. Chairman, then my next exhibits are, I would like to. What I've handed in is there's an agreement. I'm going to start off with the agreement. A little bit of a background.
The next door neighbor, Mr. Merrick, or Mr. and Mrs. Merrick here that own the property next door, is the subject of the agreement that I just turned in between Keith Properties Incorporated and Merrick. There's documented that there's a 50-foot easement right away that comes through County Road 336B and Marina Road. As part of that agreement, this property here fell short by 2.06 feet in being able to meet the 50-foot requirement. Although across that 50-foot easement, we have approximately 73 feet of frontage as. And the way these property lines run, again, these two distances here add up to approximately 73 feet.
73 and a half.
The
this agreement was presented to Mr. and Mrs. Merrick by the Keith Properties to try to come up with an agreement. It was for a land swap, and the previous plan that was submitted as part of the application, when we first filed the application, we showed a plan that showed the land swap. And the land swap was, Mr. Keith was asking for approximately 2,118 square feet of Mr. Merrick's land that sort of cut through in a manner like this so that there would be 50 foot. At that same time, Mr. Keith was offering approximately 7,200 square feet of his land that would run along the side, the south side of the Merrick's land, that giving them a little bit more buffer from what Mr. Keith was proposing with these eight lots. Also, that would bring, there's a fence and a dog pen that are on the Keith properties, that would bring their property, bring the dog pen and the fence into compliance and be part of that land swap. There's also, in the third paragraph down, there were some additional considerations where Mr. Keith had offered Mr. Merrick at that time two boat slips if the community dock facility was to be constructed, offered Mr. Merrick rights to any open space within the subdivision, and as well as it appears that the Mr. Keith and Mr. Merrick are partners in a venture, and Mr. Keith was offering to relinquish his portion of his partnership to Mr. Merrick. As the opposition letter states that it was refused, and so what we're doing is in these exhibit plans, I'll go back over again. There's a small section of land here that stopped here at lot 8, and these eight lots were subdivided. If I can direct you to, in the deed sections, I provide